Welcome to Through the Word, leading you on a journey through the entire Bible, one chapter at a time. Today, Chris Langham guides us through the New Testament book of Revelation. Now to Pastor Chris.
Welcome back to the book of Revelation, chapter 15 today, as we tackle hard questions about the wrath of God. Here in chapter 15, heaven is preparing for seven last plagues. The seal judgments have passed. The trumpet judgments are complete. There is one more set, the bowl judgments. You'll notice there are seven of each. In the Bible, seven is the number of completion, and that is exactly what this is about, finishing it. In the seven seal judgments, the world was destroyed by man. God allowed man's rule to complete its course, to ruin. The four horsemen, leaders among men who brought conquest, war, famine, and death. Then the seventh seal, the end of man's rule, leads to the seven trumpets. Satan takes over. In the seven trumpet judgments, the world is ruled by Satan. The restraints come off, the abyss is opened, and a whole new realm of demons and spiritual darkness is unleashed. But at the seventh trumpet, you remember the seventh trumpet, right? At the seventh, that's completion. Man's destruction of the world, complete. Satan's rule over the world, complete. At the seventh trumpet, the mystery of God is revealed. The kingdom of this world becomes the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ. So what's left? Why is there one more seven? Revelation 15, verse 1. I saw in heaven another great and marvelous sign, seven angels with the seven last plagues. Last, because with them God's wrath is completed. So the last seven is the completion of God's wrath. Wrath means anger. The Greek word is thumos. It means fierceness, passionate anger, hot and glowing like fire. Jesus has taken over rule, and it is time to clean house and pour out his wrath. Now, maybe you don't picture Jesus as angry. He is slow to anger and abounding in mercy, but slow doesn't mean never. We saw in chapter 14 that the grapes of man's wickedness have been growing slowly, now picked for harvest, trodden in the winepress of God's wrath, and now that wine has been poured into seven bowls, ready to pour out back onto the earth. The wickedness of mankind poured back on their own heads. God's wrath. It's a hard subject to stomach. I mean, wouldn't it be easier to just not read this part? Easier maybe, but not wise. I want to know God as he is, not as I make him to be. That's why I want revelation. God reveals himself. Now, in his revelation, God is love and God has wrath. And notice the emphasis on God completing his wrath, to be done with it. But can a loving God be wrathful? Perhaps we need a little more revelation. Chapter 15, verse 2. And I saw what looked like a sea of glass glowing with fire, and standing beside the sea, those who had been victorious over the beast and its image and over the number of its name. Now, we saw the sea of glass before, surrounding God's throne. I picture it as a great reflector of God's glory and purity. Now that sea is glowing with fire, still holy and pure, but the fire of wrath burns. And now next to that sea are the tribulation saints, victorious over the beast of Antichrist. Now they're in heaven. Their victory cost them their lives. They were killed for their faith in a loving, forgiving Savior, their faith in Jesus. And as Jesus looks at his faithful believers, tortured for Christ, fathers and mothers, sons and daughters, killed for their faith, do you think that wrath could be righteous? As for the victorious saints, God gives them stringed instruments. And in verse 3, they sang the song of God's servant Moses and of the Lamb. Great and marvelous are your deeds, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are your ways, King of the nations. Who will not fear you, Lord, and bring glory to your name? For you alone are holy. All nations will come and worship before you, for your righteous acts have been revealed. The song of these redeemed says a lot about our Lord. These are men and women, and children too, who have just lost every earthly treasure to the cruelty of man's rule on earth. The enemy came and stole, killed, and destroyed. And what do they sing about God? Just and true are your ways. God is just. God is true. God is holy. And this is really the heart of the issue. It's the real question we have with God's wrath. is God fair? Every one of us has a built-in sense, just as strong as our own conscience, that God must be fair. That's what justice is all about. But think about it. With one breath, we ask, if God is just, why doesn't he do something about evil? But with the next one, we ask, if God is love, why does he judge? Why does he send someone to hell? But we can't have it both ways. God is just, and so he does something about evil. He judges it. In his righteousness, he is wrathful. As God takes over and pours out the bowls of his wrath, we will see this refrain over and again. True and just are your judgments. The nations will come to worship you, for your righteous acts have been revealed. Now we have watched as God has sent witnesses, angels, every possible opportunity to call the people of the world to let go of sin and find forgiveness. Jesus came to pay the price, to drink the cup of God's wrath. Is God fair? In judgment, is he fair? Wherever you read about God's judgment in the Bible, there's a strong emphasis on fairness. In Romans 2, it says, God will repay each person according to what they have done. But then Romans 3 says that everyone has done evil, all have sinned. And yet God offers mercy, free mercy, by faith in Jesus. Is God fair? Yes, and better than fair. But what about hell? Is that fair? Actually, yes. It is often described as getting exactly what you deserve. That's the very definition of fair. The hard truth is coming to grips with exactly what it is we deserve. One of the Bible's hidden gems is Ezekiel 18. If you wrestle with this question, read Ezekiel 18. God personally responds to the question, is God fair? The people of Israel have accused God of being unjust in punishing mankind. But the Lord says, do I take any pleasure in the death of the wicked? Rather, am I not pleased when they turn from their ways and live? Yet you say, the way of the Lord is not just. Hear, you Israelites, is my way unjust? Is it not your ways that are unjust? Therefore, you Israelites, I will judge each of you according to your own ways, declares the sovereign Lord. Repent, turn away from all your offenses, then sin will not be your downfall. Rid yourselves of all those offenses you have committed, and get a new heart and a new spirit. Why will you die, people of Israel? For I take no pleasure in the death of anyone, declares the sovereign Lord. Repent and live. See, God does justly, but he loves mercy. Back here in Revelation, the time of mercy is up. In verse 5, John sees the temple, and the tabernacle of the covenant law opened up. That law is used for fair judgment. And in verse 6, out of the temple came the seven angels with the seven plagues. Then one of the four living creatures gave to the seven angels seven golden bowls filled with the wrath of God, who lives forever and ever. And the temple was filled with smoke from the glory of God and from his power, and no one could enter the temple until the seven plagues of the seven angels were completed.
Join us next time on Through the Word as we continue the journey, one chapter at a time. Start your own journey through the Bible with our web and mobile apps at throughtheword.org. Our apps are free, so tell a friend. We're listener-supported, so thanks for giving. Chris Langham is the founder of Through the Word Ministries and pastor of Refuge Long Beach in Long Beach, California. And remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the Word.